Blessings to all the folks who are subscribing to the CDs, wherever that may be. And it's always a joy and a privilege to be able to open the scriptures, the words of life, and be able to share the greatness of God's word. It's quite a humbling experience, actually. This morning, what I'd like to do, my topic is going to be on the subject of giving. And this morning, what I'd like to do just for a moment is to have all of us, if possible, just kind of reflect on a special time in our lives when we receive something special from someone else. I think we can all relate to that. To some kind of special time or event when we got a present of some type. Some of you are wearing those presents right here on your little fingers, aren't you? Woo! It's sparkly, and boy, you know, your heart was just so moved, and there was like a tug on your heartstrings for really the thoughtfulness and the care that someone put into making us feel so special and honored. And it was very real at that time. Well, you know, in our culture, the giving of gifts is normally associated, right, with special occasions, birthdays, anniversaries, baby showers. Some of you were in attendance at a baby shower yesterday, and also wedding events. You know, you go to a wedding, generally you bring a wedding present, or you go to a bridal shower, you bring a present of some type, and that's to honor people, to bring something as a special token. That's not my car, is it, Kent? Find out. Yep. So anyway, the giving of gifts in our culture, you know, people have birthdays, they have anniversaries, you think something through special. And of course, the most popular is the gift giving that occurs during what? The holiday season, right? Everybody's scrambling around like a chicken with its head cut off, last minute, trying to find the perfect gift for the perfect person, right? And hopefully, I've learned this over the years, you don't wait until the last minute. You try to start shopping before 6 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve. Because then you start finding all the stores are closed except Long's Drugstore. But they have such a wide variety of gifts at Long's Drug. You can find almost anything you want there, right? Oh, gosh. Some of us guys, you know, it's just taken us such a long time to learn how to do these things and, you know, really learn how to cultivate and nourish and nurture and be honoring in the things that we do and in the things that we say. It's just so challenging sometimes for us to project into actions and words how we really feel. Because sometimes people will ask me, how do you feel? I'm like, what? How do I? Well, I don't know how I feel fine, I guess, you know. And that's one thing I really love about our ladies, because they're so in touch with how they're feeling, what's going on, and different things. And if, you know, they understand many times what it is they're feeling and why. You know, for us, we just don't know quite how to verbalize all that. So, but we learn, huh? Is that right, Al?
Yeah.
But the subject of giving, what a great subject it is. And there's so many different facets to this. But what I wanted to do is just take a few moments here this morning. Because in the Eastern culture of the Bible times, gift giving was somewhat different. It wasn't always necessarily focused around a special event. Actually, if you read... And there are many books that are available. This is one of the great tools that we've used over the years, called Manners and Customs of the Bible by Freeman. It's a complete guide to the origin and significance of our time-honored biblical tradition. It talks about the Eastern culture. Because, you know, this Bible wasn't written in New York City. This Bible the culture of the Bible is where? Where is the culture of the Bible? It's in the Middle East, right? People don't think necessarily like we do over in the Middle East. And certainly, books like these are helpful for us to acquire a greater understanding of the culture and the times of the Bible. This is a tool that helps us to understand this. See, we've been having a lot of building going on at our home. You know what? Every craftsman that comes there brings some type of specific tool to get his job accomplished. This is only one tool with many tools that are available to help us really build a strong foundation of being able to work this Word of God and to be able to understand it. So in the Eastern culture of the Bible times, we're going to take a little bit of time to look into this book and understand maybe a little bit more about the mannerisms and customs of the Bible. I want to look in, you can take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 33, please. We won't have time necessarily to read all these things in context. The verse in Genesis 33:10 says, "And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it." He was giving this to his brother, Esau. They had a little bit of a rocky relationship, if you remember. How this whole thing came down with Esau and Jacob receiving the blessing. So maybe take the time later to read this record. But what I really wanted to focus on was that particular verse, verse 10. The giving of presents is far more common in the East and has more significance than with us. Hardly any transaction of importance can take place without a gift. The formal visits which friends make to each other are preceded by presents of fowls, sheep, rice, coffee, and other provisions. A note was made that in Persia, everyone gives what is most at hand and has a relation to his profession, and those who have no particular profession give money. A refusal to receive a gift, a refusal to receive a present is, throughout the East, interpreted as an evidence of enmity. Hence, Jacob's anxiety that Esau should accept the gift that he offered. It'd be interesting to go back and read this in its context maybe a little bit later. So that's something that happens, that presents were given in the process of a type of transaction that occurred. You know, in the East, people gave presents on their birthday. They didn't receive presents. Now, that's totally different than what we expect in our culture, isn't it? Huh? They gave presents on their birthday. You know, and I understand that there's another tradition that when somebody came to visit a man of God, they also brought a present. Look at what happened with the wise men when they came to visit Jesus. What did they bring? They brought presents, right? They brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? They were very significant things culturally, and they brought them to the baby, who was a king, right? Look in Job chapter 42. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Job went through a few things in his life, which you can read about and probably you have read about over the years. What I want to look at is verse 10 and 11, 42, 10 and 11. It says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Verse 11 says, "Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him, and comforted him over the all of the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold." Very interesting verse. Of course, understanding the figure there, that it wasn't God who brought the evil upon Job. We understand that, right? But this is another example of where culturally what people would do was to bring gifts and presents to people who were afflicted, people who were in trouble. It is said to still be a custom in some parts of the East for friends and relatives to visit at some previously appointed time a man in trouble, bringing with them presents to supply his wants and to make up for whatever losses he may have sustained by his calamity. After partaking of a feast prepared by the hosts, the guests leave their gifts and express their desire for his future prosperity. That must be a real blessing. Man, somebody's having a really hard time, they're struggling, they're down, they're afflicted, and what do? Get together and bring gifts. Bring pieces of money, bring some type of abundance. What would be the purpose of that? Well, to help that person rise up out of that position that he's found himself in. What a great example from God's Word. See. Let's look at Genesis chapter 45. The Bible is so rich and so abundant with treasures. It's like getting a big old treasure chest that's filled with like all these precious rubies and gold and all the things that you can imagine would just be like the most precious to you, and just digging through it to find the one little thing that you wanted at that particular point in time. Genesis chapter 45. Yeah, it really takes some time to look through these things, these records, and that's why I encourage you to go back and look at some of these things in the context. But there's a verse in 22, and it says, "To all of them he gave each man," what? "Changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment." This is a very interesting gift that was given. Presents of costly and beautiful garments are among the modes of complimenting in use by the Orientals. Since the fashions of dress do not change as with us, these gifts are valuable as long as they last. These changes of raiment were designed to be worn on special occasions. Other biblical references are made to this custom of presenting gifts of clothing. Samson offered raiment to anyone who should guess his riddle. When Naaman visited Elisha, he took with him, among other gifts, 10 changes of raiment. Even Solomon did not disdain to receive such presents, and Daniel was clothed with scarlet as a reward for interpreting the king's dream. It is said of an illustrious Oriental poet of the 9th century that he had so many presents made him during his lifetime that at his death he had 100 complete suits of clothes, 200 shirts, and 500 turbans. The Hindus, at the close of a feast, commonly give to each guest a present of new garments. Fascinating. There are some really interesting correlations between what we're talking about right now and what each and every one of us has been given spiritually. And we're going to get into that to draw some of the correlations in terms of what God has really given to us as sons and daughters of God. And this next one is really awesome. This is the last record in Esther chapter 6. Going to all these records, all these parts of the Bible that you guys don't normally go to, I suppose, huh? Esther. That's right before Job. Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Bet we could get all you guys up here and just, you guys, you just pound out those Bible verses. You guys are Christian experts, right? You know the books of the Bible, don't you? Huh? Yeah. Just get them right like that. If not, maybe that'd be a good thing to do. Just know the books of the Bible. That seems like really foundational sort of thinking, doesn't it? Anyway, Esther chapter 6, verse 8. And this is another one that's related to the royal garments, the garments. Let's look at verse 6. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse which the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, proclaim before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Verse 11, Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came against the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning, having his head covered. Anyway, it goes on. That's really fascinating. And when you see God at work in this situation about how he just turned the whole thing. But there's something very unique and special about the giving of the king's clothing. Any of you all ever use this book? I know you do. Probably all, many of you have a copy. In the back, you could just look up any subject matter. It's a topical index. And then you could look at different subject matters in here. Like say this one I'm looking at right now. There's a listing here where it says presents. And then it says at various times, bridal, in trouble, of clothing, ostentation and making, chief priests, prison, prisoners, processions, property, psaltery, publican, punishment, purification, purses. I mean, any subject that you would want, you could really go to this. Or if you also had a verse of scripture where there was something that you thought was a part of the Oriental culture, there's a scripture listing in here as well. This is not rocket science. This is pretty easy to get through. And this book, some book like this probably costs about $8, $8 to $10. It is a wealth, a gold mine of information. It really, truly is. But anyway, in reference to that verse in Esther 6:8, it says, "To congratulate him on his coronation, the king made everyone," and this is in reference to a particular thing that occurred, "he invited all these people to the coronation, but the king made every one of them a present of a what they call a C-A-L-A-T-E. I don't know how to pronounce that. collet, or a royal vest. It is an infallible mark of the particular esteem which the sovereign has for the person to whom he sends it, and that he has free liberty to approach his person. You know, that's really interesting. Free liberty to approach his person at all at any given time. You know, a gift is something that's given voluntarily. It's given without charge. As an offering of the free will, and I'd like to say the unforced free will, because if it was forced free will, then that wouldn't really be free will, would it? But a gift is given something that's voluntary, voluntarily and without charge. It's an offering of the unforced free will, and it puts into the possession of another. It puts something into the possession of another with no expectation of anything in return. It's a gift. When you give somebody that birthday present, you should have no expectation of anything in return. You know, God has done this over and over and over again. I thought it would be really neat to just take a few minutes to think about how we have been benefited from the things that we've been given. And then think about it in light of some of the things that we talked about, in light of the Oriental culture of giving. In John 3:16, we all know that verse, right? What does it say? Let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God gave us his Son. Well, God just gave his Son. We didn't even know about it until information got presented to us that this gift had been given. And when we confess what it says to do in Romans 10, 9, and 10, to confess Jesus is, well, let's say that to him too, okay? Here we go. Romans 10, 9, and 10. You guys are going to get good at these verses today. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God gave us his Son, a gift. You know what? As a result, we, amongst many other things, receive eternal life. It's ours now. God's given it as a gift. Now it's ours. See. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. He's delivered us. He's rescued us out of. He's given us citizenship in a world that's different than the one we're currently living in. We're strangers here on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, right? See? That's maybe why we feel so odd down here sometimes. Because this is not really our home, is it? We've been given a new home. We're going to live somewhere else. Colossians chapter 1. God has delivered us. He's rescued us out of this world. Talk about presence to the afflicted. Presence to the troubled. What do you think God has done for us? He's given us his Son, Jesus Christ, and he's rescued us, pulled us up out of the darkness of this world and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the what? The power of darkness, and hath translated us into His kingdom of His dear Son. God has delivered us. He's rescued us out of the darkness of this world, from this present evil world that was just trying so many times to make us citizens. Force us to do something. You can read more about the things that we've been delivered from in Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, that's just rich. It's just full. It's a treasure chest. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by what? Nature. Were by nature. The children of wrath, even as others. But, here it is, Bob. But God. But God. Who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, He has made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Holy Toledo, Ohio. I did that for you, Judy. I should say Cincinnati, I guess. But God has raised us up, pulled us up out of it. The darkness, this present evil world, the power of darkness, God has just pulled us up out of that through and by way of the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And you know what? It's a free gift. It's free! You might say, there's nothing free in this world. Well, not in this world, there isn't. Everything in this world seems to be bought and paid for, but our citizenship is not in this world. We've been rescued out of this world. See? Amazing. He delivered us out of this present evil world. And as a result, guess what? We can enjoy our authority as citizens of heaven. We've got authority down here on this earth. We've got the name of Jesus Christ that we can use. See? We've got the name of Jesus Christ. We've got the authority. We've got the power. We've got the ability. We've got Christ within us. No devil can stand against that. See? No. Not going to happen. He's delivered us out of this present evil world. So you know what? We can use our authority as sons of God, as citizens. Luke chapter 24. So part of the transaction that occurred was that God gave His Son, Jesus Christ. That was a great gift to the world. We receive it by believing in the confession of the Lord Jesus. And God's given huge presents and gifts to the afflicted, the troubled, the people who need him. Luke 24:49. This is before the day of Pentecost. Jesus is talking to the disciples. 24:49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Until you be endued with power from on high. This word endued means to be clothed with, to be fully covered with Holy Spirit. That's what we've been given as a free gift. And remember in Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the what? The gift of Holy Spirit. See? Jesus tells his disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait until you be clothed with. Think about the Oriental culture tradition of giving pieces of raiment as gifts. See? Gifts of raiment. See? Romans chapter 5. In the same category. Chapter 5, verse 15. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if one by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the what? The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness. Man, what a piece of clothing to put on. That's better than any Armani suit. Any prom dress, and any wedding dress. And weddings are a wonderful part of our lives. But to put on the clothing that God has provided to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and to be able to walk in our righteousness day after day after day, wow, what a great gift that God has given to us. And finally, Romans chapter 5, we're right there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have what? Access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know what? We can't even get in to see the president of the phone company. We probably couldn't even get in to see the president of SDG&E without some kind of specialized appointment. But you know what God has given us? Free access. Unlimited access. Like royal honors given to a subject. You've got the king's clothes on, folks. When God sees you, he sees Christ. See? Doesn't see your weakness, your flesh. See? There's nothing we could have to bring to God that would be good enough. That's why we come in the name of Jesus Christ and in Christ's finished work. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 16 it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've got access 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, because we have been clothed in the king's clothing. We have been given full and unlimited access. So those are four examples, and I'm sure there's many others, four examples of how gift-giving was done in the biblical culture. Gifts given as part of a transaction, presents that were given to the afflicted or the troubled, gifts of raiment, and especially the one where royal honors were given to a subject. So God's given us His Son, and as a result, we've received eternal life. He's delivered us. He's rescued us out of this world, and as a result, we can enjoy our authority as citizens of heaven. He's clothed us with Holy Spirit and in Christ's completed work, and as a result, we can walk with power. He's given us free and unlimited access, and as a result, we can look to Him and we can walk with Him at all times. Now, our joy is that we are able to voluntarily offer ourselves to God. Romans 12:1 says that we would offer ourselves as living sacrifices. See. That we can voluntarily, by our unforced free will, give ourselves unreservedly and selflessly. And also, as part of this, to give our praise and our thanksgiving to the gift giver, to God Almighty. I want to close in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing songs, psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." That can be a great heartfelt response to the things that we realize that God has blessed us with and given to us. Just like the heart of David, just give thanks unto God. Praise God. Thank you, God. See? Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing songs unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. You know, you can't praise God and thank God and be negative at the same time. It's impossible. So the next time you start getting down or down on yourself, you know what? Turn that around and start thanking God, praising God for all the wonderful blessings that He has given to you. You know, God, there's a verse in Isaiah where it says, God has given us the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness, or with garment of heaviness for the spirit of praise. Whatever it says, it's in there. What does it say? He's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See? Praise is a great way to overcome when things start going downhill. See? Praise. Praise. And God's given us the perfect ability to do that within the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. It's speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, going to the Word, see. Give thanks unto God. What a great way to be able to honor God for the things that He's really done on our behalf, see. So if this is okay, what I'd like to do, Bob, is sing a song. Not myself personally, but I was thinking we could all stand up maybe and sing How Great Thou Art. The beautiful song here. Number 44.